everybody, this is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I am fantastic and wishing I was part of that funny little muddle called entertainment.
You are, technically.
Really? Wow, I didn't know podcasts counted.
I say they do. There's professional entertainers who use podcasts to entertain. We technically make money off this.
That's true. I think we are even categorized in the entertainment section.
We're in TV,
which is practically entertainment.
I don't know. Like you could put us in several of those categories are meaningless. Hi everybody. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/thesimpsonsshow. For only $2 a month, you gain access to all of our bonus content. We do weekly episode reviews. Now doing King of the Hill over the summer until new episodes of The Simpsons begin. We do monthly bonus episodes for this month, probably early next week, I'm guessing. Just under the wire, we'll have a look at the America's Most Wanted, their little mini episode on Simpsons on the attempted murder of Mr. Burns. It was a very strange thing, but we're going to talk about it. But definitely encourage you to check it out. We remain ad-free because of it. You can also go to iTunes or Stitcher or any of those places and give us a 5-star review, subscribe. I think Stitcher has like a favorite system. Use that. Google Play Music, they have a rating system. You know, give us good ratings. We really appreciate it. Best way you can help.
And because we love you.
That's, of course. Love is always at the heart of everything. This week's episode is Radioactive Man. Episode 2F17, originally aired September 24th, 1995, written by John Swartzwelder, most prolific Simpsons writer, directed by Susie Dieter, finished 51st in the ratings, acquired a Nielsen rating of 9.5, fourth highest rated show on Fox that week, following X-Files, Beverly Hills 90210, and Melrose Place. It surprised me a little bit just because Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2 did so well. It was a very steep drop to the second episode.
Which is weird because this is a really good episode. I feel bad about that.
I don't know. I don't think its ratings are... There's so much inconsistency on how they're... Like, how they're pulled from such a small amount of people to try and... They extrapolate them so largely that I feel like for a long time, they are basically meaningless. The chalkboard gag, Bewitched does not promote Satanism.
Or does it? I mean, when you replace a guy with a completely different guy and then tell people it's the same person, that's pretty satanic to me.
Was that Bewitched?
That was Bewitched. That was Darren.
I thought that was I Dream of Jeannie.
Nope, that was definitely Bewitched because it was Dick York for
Dick Sargent.
Dick Van Dyke. Dick Sargent, that's right.
Dick Van Dyke was Mary Tyler Moore show.
Right, that's the one. But yeah, it was
great shows.
Bewitched,
I Dream of Jeannie, Mary Tyler Moore show, all great shows. Classic sitcoms. And which did not promote Satanism. There was no mention of Satan.
No. They were just witches. They were magical people.
They're magic. It's just magic. The couch gag. The couch is a fax machine. Spews out a piece of paper with a Simpsons family on it. And it slides.
Still makes me giggle just because of the nostalgia factor for fax machines, of which there is none because they're evil and dead.
No, they're still around, Matt. I mean, I've used...
should be dead.
I know, but they still exist. You know when the fax machine was invented?
It's like 1970 something.
No. 1850.
Even earlier than that. Huh?
1850s.
Okay. Maybe a precursor to it.
I'm not joking. Go look. We're not going to do. I'm here right now. Fax machine. We're going to look. Fax machines. Wikipedia. Facsimile. Wire transmission. 1846. 1843 was the first patent in Britain. In 1865. First commercial telefax service, 11 years before the invention of the telephone.
That's amazing. Anyway.
We still use that thing, just to let you guys know that. fax machines are weird. Episode,
some of us do.
The episode guest stars Mickey Rooney as himself. And Phil Hartman.
He does a bang-up job of being weird.
Yeah, as being Mickey Rooney. And Phil Hartman in a small part as Lionel Hutz, which Phil Hartman does a great job, as always. Episode begins with Bart and Milhouse in the Android's dungeon doing some comic book shopping, in which they discuss how all the new heroes are terrible.
Aw, all these new superheroes suck. None of them can hold a candle to Radioactive Man.
The only decent new one is Radiation Dude.
Nah, he's just a cheap imitation of Radioactive Man.
Explain!
The similarities are subtle, but many. For example, Radioactive Man has his famous catchphrase, Up and Adam, with Adam spelled A-T-O-M in a delicious pun. Go on. While Radiation Dude has a similar but lamer catchphrase, up and let's go.
I think Bart just really surmised like the totality of superhero comic books.
That's true. Originality is really tough in the comic book world.
Especially now.
Yeah. Well, it's been an industry for going on probably, 80 years now, 90 years?
Yep. Yeah, that's a long, long time. Comic book guy, of course, is present and overhears them talking about Radioactive Man. And he asked them about if they knew about the feature film that is being developed. If it's a superhero movie made in the mid-90s, it probably was going to be bad. But we see him go on the news groups, which I wish the news groups were, those archives were up for that time period, because I really would like them to see him, see all the people, see talking about them actually going on it. But we see him kind of in our posts about trying to get the star of who is going to be this, who's going to be Radioactive Man, honestly. We see him going alt.nerd.obsessive, which I use for our news group segment. And Prince, for some reason, is one of the... Is there a reason for that?
Prince, yes, because Prince was on the internet very early. He even co-owned an ISP, like a dial-up ISP in the UK in the late 90s. He was into computers very early on.
Didn't know that. You're so smart, Matt.
I read an article about it.
Oh, so you're an expert. We jump to a Hollywood boardroom where they're discussing the casting.
Yeah, I don't see why Rainier Wolfcastle should be the star. I think we should bring back Dirk Richter. Kids will want to see the original Radioactive Man.
I keep telling you, he's 73 years old and he's dead.
That's generally an impediment.
Generally, but not always. I mean, they at least were able to finish The Crow when poor Brandon Lee died.
Yeah, but you can't tell.
That's true.
And they mentioned the campy 70s version of Radioactive Man, which is obviously a reference to... Did they specify the decade? They say 70s? Because it was...
I think you said the campy 70s version.
Okay, because yes. Well, because Batman, it was Batman 66. So I'm just curious if they actually... I can't remember if they actually said 70s. But Batman 66, Adam West, obviously, is a clear allusion of that with... Paul Lynde's analog playing this Scoutmaster, and there's lots of dancing and bad sound effects. But they're
awesome sound effects.
I mean, there is some appeal in the campiness, but they are trying to get away from it. They're also trying to decide where they want to film.
So where can we shoot this picture? We need a city that has a nuclear reactor and a gorge and can guarantee us the full cooperation of city officials.
I'll check Variety.
Wow, look at that, Ed. All right, this place must be hot. They don't need a big ad or even correct spelling.
I agree with that logic.
Get me 2 plane tickets to the state that Springfield is in. All right, we have $30 million to spend.
We'll blow up our dams, destroy forests, anything. If there's a species of animal that's causing you problems, nosing around your camera, we'll have it wiped out.
Look, we just want to make movies, not kill things.
Right, we understand.
This episode does that, I mean, not in totality, but for a large part, it makes the Springfield, like, generally when you get portrayals of Hollywood types, they're very shady, sleazy.
Yes, and it's great, and in this case, it's kind of flip-flopped.
Yeah, it's the opposite. It's really fun just to get that flipped on its head for the most part. There are some exceptions. But they are going to hold auditions for Fall Out Boy locally.
Which is a terrible idea.
I know. Springfield's a very relatively small city, especially compared to Los Angeles. You'd think you would hold, auditions for a larger. Maybe they just want a completely unknown. You know, and there is certainly an appeal to that. But
that's true.
Bart, we see Bart practicing for his audition.
Look behind you, Radioactive Man. The sun is exploding again.
Bart, why are you talking like that?
Yeah, and who the hell are you talking to? Marge, do you have other men in this house? Radioactive men?
I'm practicing my Fall Out Boy dialogue. If I get this role, I could finally come to terms with this funny little muddle called Bart.
We see that Mo himself used to be an actor in a scene with Homer at the bar. He was a part of the original Little Rascals, apparently.
His name was Smelly.
Homer asked him twice if it was because he was the ugly one. Which, I mean, it's Mo. Also, here's a small a point that I've seen pointed out on the internet is the Little Rascals originally was called Our Gang.
Indeed.
It was only Little Rascals after it was syndicated, I believe. But Mo was Smelly. His bit was he would get hit in the face with exhaust.
Yeah, because that's funny for some reason.
I guess we
never saw the William Faulkner version, so obviously we didn't get the best stuff.
Matt, have you ever read William Faulkner?
I have not, no.
I would keep it that way. I've read Faulkner. I appreciate his talent.
Coming from an English major, wow.
I appreciate his talent. His books are, never enjoyed reading them. They're important. They're important in canon of literature, not necessarily fun to read. Mo also killed the original Alfalfa, apparently.
Luckily, though.
Yeah, he was owned by the studio, so who cares? The studio owned him, so you're allowed to murder him, apparently.
That's true. Apparently you can own orphans. Even in those days, I was unaware. I thought that went out, 50 years prior, but apparently not.
No, and also Mo is 80 years old, apparently. Little Rascals.
At the very least, yes.
Yeah, Moe must be very old man. But we see Bart at the school and all the kids in line. They're all very impressed by Bart's acting ability. Milhouse, we finally see Milhouse in this, which he kind of becomes a bigger part in the second and third act. But have we even seen him until... We saw him in the comic book story originally, but here we see his parents both trying to push him to audition. He clearly doesn't want to. His mother, Luann, even takes off his glasses, which his eyes aren't. She says, "Oh, your beautiful eyes."
And they're super tiny and beady.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's not a great look for Milhouse. But we see the auditions, I suppose.
At last, the world is safe. Hey, Fallout Boy.
What's for lunch tomorrow?
Next.
Chicken necks.
We're never going to find... Wait a minute. That child has the exact qualities we're looking for. He's perfect. What is his name?
I don't know. He just came along with one of the others. He didn't sign up officially.
Oh, forget him then. It wouldn't be fair to the other children who filled out their application forms in full. Next!
At last the world is safe, eh, Fallout Boy?
Watch out, Radioactive Man!
Brilliant reading again.
Watch out, Radioactive Man!
Fantastic! One more time!
Watch out, Radioactive Man!
Congratulations, Bart Simpson! You're our new Fallout Boy! That's what I'd be saying to you if you weren't an inch too short. Next!
That is the exact worst way to say that.
Yeah, it's... Phrasing. It's important. Phrasing is important. But with that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Bart attempting to grow that extra inch because essentially he believes that if he goes into re-auditions while being taller, he will totally get the part. And I have to believe there's some leeway in these kind of things, but apparently Bart does not believe that. So he tries to get the cat and dog to pull him apart, basically like he's being drawn, hopefully without the quartering.
Stretched.
That fails.
Stretched. Stretched. But those animals are not... I mean, how much does Bart weigh?
Probably not a lot. I mean, a 10-year-old weighs what? 80 pounds, maybe?
I was going to go lower than that, but still, that's a lot of weight for a dog and a cat to lift.
Exactly. It'd take at least a couple horses, but either way, he wakes up the next morning and finds out that he has only grown half an inch, which is actually pretty good. That's pretty impressive.
An inch in a day. I like Marge compliments him on that. Like, she's like, "You did a good job." Like, she's very supportive of him growing. Like, that's not a thing you actively really have to try at.
Well, that does mean he's been eating, so that's good. Maybe she's worried about that.
I don't know. She doesn't really play much of a part in this episode, but that is a very cute moment.
Plus, you do actually grow about half an inch each day because over the course of the day, due to gravity, you shrink, and overnight, as you sleep, your body elongates. So most people have about half an inch of variability in a day. So that's not really a big thing.
Matt,
if you made that mark the night before.
Come on. You're crushing a little boy's dreams.
That little boy is actually, at this point, was probably a 30-something-year-old woman.
What are you talking about? Matt, what are you talking about? Bart Simpson nothing, is a boy.
It also turns out that Grandpa is shrinking half an inch a day. I don't think that's coming back because Grandpa is super short.
His head is just poking up over the edge of the kitchen table.
So with some advice from Lisa and Marge, he attempts to look taller without actually being taller. So he goes back to get the part. He brings a tiny dog. He has his hair spiked up. He's wearing a pinstripe suit, and he's wearing platform shoes, which, you know, that's how they make Tom Cruise look taller. So sure, why not? Unfortunately, right as he comes in to audition again, Milhouse has just gotten the part. Milhouse is, of course, shocked by this because he wasn't really trying that hard, but I guess they saw something in him. So,
I mean, who knows? Hollywood casting has done much stranger things than cast Milhouse as a sidekick.
That is true. They, of course, immediately go out to announce this to the waiting crowd.
Ladies and gentlemen, meet America's new Fallout Boy.
Out of the way. Milhouse, baby! Lionel Hutz, your new agent, bodyguard, unauthorized biographer, and drug dealer. Keep her away.
Leave me alone! Mom! Dad! Make them stop! What is all this stuff?
We've heard you've become a star. We decided we better start living in the fast lane.
What if I'm not a success? How will you pay for all this?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, son. I'm wearing a jacuzzi suit.
Ugh.
So I guess cell phones were a thing back then, because I don't know how else they would have known that he had become a success, or just started anyway.
They got a fax.
So they had a fax. Damn it, Robbie. Also, a jacuzzi suit sounds amazing.
I don't know. It seems like...
Impractical.
I was going to say, like, just get a jacuzzi? Like, that's a...
But this way you can read and eat and watch TV while keeping your hands dry. So, you know,
you can
but
watch
the rest gets the wonderfulness.
You can watch TV in a jacuzzi. You just have a television.
You could read a book or use electronics in a jacuzzi unless you're willing to forego them.
You can just have a TV up on the wall and a remote control to, like, on a side table.
You can watch TV, but it's very hard to read in a jacuzzi.
Why would I need to read in a jacuzzi?
Because you always need to be reading.
Not everyone is you, Matt. I just hate to.
Well,
pop that bubble for you right there.
Anyway, Bart is, of course, downtrodden at this news, but Lisa comforts him and says that, he's going to need someone to whirl whiskey bottles at when he's low. And Bart has the best line: I'll suck up to him like the religious people suck up to God.
Just like it.
Just like that, yep. It also turns out they're going to be filming some of the movie at the Simpsons house. They basically tear apart some walls, tear down some walls to run some cables. Yeah. And when Homer pesters the director, the producer pops in to say, hey, why don't you get something from our food truck, which is all Homer needs to hear.
He just vanishes.
He vanishes. He does the Looney Tunes cloud shape of Homer gag.
I would argue that the $50 a day is certainly not enough money to compensate for the property damage, but the amount of food Homer eats, he's probably getting back there.
Yes, he is. They're probably saving a ton of money. We also get a great scene with Krusty attempting... Do you remember what the character he tries to be is? Because I forgot to write it down.
No, I don't remember.
Okay, he gets rejected for that particular... Crummy the Clown, something like that. When Krusty shows them his range, aka his headshots, they do say that he can be Angry the Clown, Silly Sailor, and Dr. Clownius.
What?
Because apparently they have a lot of clown-themed villains.
They must. He must have like an entire clown rogues gallery, and they're all...
But the next day, we see that Bart comes to visit the set, and he gets to meet Milhouse, who then explodes because it was a dummy that was rigged to explode. And then Milhouse gets run over by a truck, but it turns out it's his stunt double. So yeah. It's okay. It's a tiny Eastern European man who very much reminds me of the guy who played Lisa in
Burns' Air. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, he's an Estonian man, I believe, is that the guy in that episode was Estonian. This guy seems very much like him. I don't know if it's
very much so, yes.
Yeah, but the clowns, the clown part that was cast was Crispy the Clown.
Crispy the Clown, thank you. Also, I believe he was the crusty burglar in Homie the Clown.
Yes, he was. I don't know if it's canon that they're all the same character. They look and sound very similar.
Indeed, I wish they would bring him back. I enjoyed that character.
Let's just have an entire episode about that little Estonian man.
Love it.
Yeah.
Bart also walks by a bunch of guys painting horses to look like cows, because apparently cows don't look like cows on film. Also, if you have to have a horse, you just tape a bunch of cats together. This is, of course, a joke about how things on film just don't look right. And it's true to an extent, but I don't think it's quite to this extent.
That's why me and Matt both have lots of cats. We're trying to get horses.
That's true. Eventually, we will put them all together and then we will ride. We will become Lone Rangers of the 2010s.
It's a cat Voltron horse.
Yes. Oh, my God. If any of you are artists, I would love to see that. But we then move on to Homer, who attempts to out-relax the Teamsters because they are totally working, even though they're just sitting or leaning up against a truck and eventually onto the ground to lay down, because that's how hard they work. We also get a scene where Quimby is once again introducing a new tax on the producers and directors because he does not wear puffy directing pants. So therefore, that's a new tax that has to be levied on the production.
Yeah, again, another representation of, like, actually the Hollywood people are relatively innocent. They're just trying to make a movie, and the small town politician is and I believe Quimby is has Wiggum with him. There, yeah. Yeah, so they're destroying these.
They're colluding.
There's these poor Hollywood guys just getting run roughshod by the small towners.
Yep, that's the way that always works. Eventually, Bart finds Milhouse, but basically Milhouse is not enjoying his success.
Wow, you really got it made now, Milhouse. This is living.
Is it, Bart? Is it really?
Yeah. Ever since I became a movie star, I've been miserable. I had to get up at 5 a.m. just for makeup. Well, I like the way the blush brings out my cheekbones, but it's not worth it. And making movies is so horribly repetitive. I've said Jiminy Jilliker so many times the words have lost all meaning.
We've got to do the Jiminy Jilliker scene again, Milhouse.
But we already did it. It took 7 hours, but we did it. It's done.
Yes, but we've got to do it from different angles. Again and again. And again and again and again.
Obviously, this doesn't come through in audio, but Milhouse's trailer is full of video games and wonderful, like, vending machines and things that, if he didn't have to spend his day making movies, I'm sure he would probably enjoy a lot. So, as we see, Milhouse is not enjoying his stardom because, you know, it's a lot of work to be an actor.
Yeah, and I want to say this, there's not a whole bunch of episodes that really focus on Milhouse, largely. There's only been a few, and Pamela Hayden does only Milhouse, Rod Flanders, Jimbo Jones. Like, she doesn't do a lot of voices, but she does. This is, you get a little bit of range in Milhouse. Like, you see him angry, like, which almost never happens. I can't remember. Yes.
Milhouse is scared and occasionally a little bit boastful. That's about it.
Yeah, he's very seldom, like, super, like, you don't see rage. You don't see that depth of, like, anger. And you get it here, and I just want to point that out. She does a really good job.
Absolutely. After Milhouse runs off, we get to see the Jiminy Jilliker scene, where apparently Silly Sailor, once again, who's Krusty the Clown, has beat both Radioactive Man and Fallout Boy up and imprisoned them in his floating aqua world, which is a very obvious Waterworld reference.
Yes.
And also, apparently, in the Radioactive Man universe, Jiminy Jilliker is some sort of swear or a profanity, which I don't know how, but okay, sure, why not? After this, we get to see the goggles scene where they are filming in the nuclear power plant, and a giant wall of sulfuric acid is going to basically burn Radioactive Man, who is tied up. There's also a bunch of furniture on fire beneath him for some reason, and it is Milhouse's job to save Radioactive Man, and I guess they're using real sulfuric acid for some unknown reason, so they can only do it once. And, well, the stakes, they're high.
Okay, listen up, everybody. This is the hardest, most expensive scene in the movie, and we only get one shot at it, so we have to do it right.
Fallout Boy will untie Radioactive Man and pull him to safety moments before he's hit with a 40-foot wall of sulfuric acid that will horribly burn everything in its path. Now, that's real acid, so I want to see goggles, people.
Real acid?
Okay, roll film. Tip the acid bats and action.
Only Fallout Boy can save me now.
Where's Fallout Boy? Fallout Boy?
Uh-oh. My eyes, the goggles do nothing.
So, yes, I had to make sure we had my eyes, the goggles do nothing.
It's very important. It's such a dumb thing. That is a very Simpson-esque gag. I think it's a very John Swartzwelder-y type thing to have this big burly dude subjected to, like a massively tremendous destructive force, and he is given goggles for protection.
I'm surprised he was even given goggles, because he was supposed to be saved from the sulfuric acid. He just pulls them out from nowhere.
It's just in case, man. It's just in case.
In case you give him a full body suit, or you have him attached to a line that pulls him away just in case something goes wrong. Or how about if you're being a good director, you check on Fallout Boy before you hit action?
Matt, why so critical? It's a small movie. They don't have the time and effort to do all those things. You know, they gotta.
It's true. It was a superhero movie in the 90s. They probably had like a $10 million budget.
I believe they say 30 when they are in the scene with Quimby and Wiggum when they first meet them. I believe they say they have $30 million, which is even then was not a huge budget.
That's true.
I think inflation. What the inflation from 1995 dollars?
12% by now, higher than that. So I'd say, well, maybe more than that. Maybe 20% higher. So maybe 30 million now. Then was 40 million now, or something like that. So that is not very high for a superhero movie.
47 million.
Wow, has it really been that much? Wow.
So it'd be almost 50, which is for a superhero movie, especially, would be a pretty small budget.
That's true.
How much did Batman cost in 89?
More than that, I think.
$35 million.
Oh, so yeah, there you go.
It's not bad. Of course, they got around it by not really having a lot of action. That was definitely more of a character. You know, they had it was.
It's true. It was more of a horror movie than a superhero movie.
Yeah, it was Tim Burton. Simpsons.
and once poor Rainier Wolf Castle is burned, we go to a commercial.
When we come back, everyone is looking for Milhouse. He's disappeared, run away from the fame. He doesn't want to be an actor. He has repeatedly said that. Now he has vanished because of that fact. Everyone around town is looking for him. They go to an editor who say, "Oh, we can just finish the movie without him." As Matt previously mentioned about The Crow, they could just. Clever editing techniques. They don't need Milhouse. They do a very bad job of showing that.
Effects in the 90s weren't what they are today.
Yeah, like you can't just cut to entirely different scenes of Fallout Boy just uttering things. There's a lot of sight gags in this episode, so I couldn't pull any. I was trying to pull stuff, and it's just there's a lot of sight gags, and I think even Susie Dieter, the director, when they did a table read, she was a little apprehensive because of all the sight gags. She didn't really get a lot of the humor in the table read because you couldn't see anything. You know, it's all very much like, hey, if you see it, it's funny. If you don't see it, it's not as funny. But as upon seeing an animatic, I believe she was like, oh yeah, actually, this is really good. I was worried for nothing. Wiggum has the town's police dogs to go find Milhouse.
Go! Okay, we can all stop worrying now. These dogs never fail.
But will they just find Milhouse, or will they find him and kill him?
Well, they'll... when they find him, they'll... They'll...
Excuse me, you didn't answer me. You just trailed off.
Yeah. Yeah, I did kind of trail off there, didn't I?
I'm going to go over here now.
Yeah. Bart, while everyone else just is like willy-nilly searching, he's like, oh, I can find him. I'll just go to his old haunts. They go to, Slot Car Heaven, where Comic Book Guy and Otto are racing to determine the champion.
For the champion of the universe.
Champion of the universe, which is, obviously a great title. They go to an abandoned Spirograph factory, which I pulled this clip just because it is the oddest thing.
Yo, Dr. S, have you seen Milhouse today?
No.
Okay, thanks.
Wait, did you know that there's a direct correlation between the decline of Spirograph and the rise in gang activity? Think about it.
I will.
No, you won't.
What? The strangest thing. Spirograph, abandoned Spirograph factory with Dr. S. Is the S for Spirograph?
I would assume.
So he's Dr. Spirograph?
Who works at the Spirograph factory, of course.
He doesn't work there, Matt. There's nothing work. It's abandoned. I don't think he's working.
That's true. I mean, but he's still working there. He's just not producing anything. He's coming up with his next great idea. It'll blow you away.
Did you have a Spirograph as a child?
I did not, no. I wasn't much into art as a kid.
Calling Spirographs art is, I don't know, it's more math than art.
Well, it's procedurally generated art.
So it's like No Man's Sky?
Yes, exactly. I'm sure he got bored after the first two or three planets.
Hey, I got like 20 hours in before I started getting bored. Finally, Milhouse checks the treehouse. Not Milhouse. Bart checks the treehouse for Milhouse. Manages to hit every single corner one time before circling back around and finding Milhouse. He only had to get to the fifth corner of the treehouse to find Milhouse.
Which I'm pretty sure is a square, so...
No. Okay. No, Matt, there's five corners.
So it's a pentagon?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where all the Treehouse of Horrors are from, because it's a pentagon, so therefore they're summoning Satan every Halloween.
They should do that. If that's not canon, they shouldn't do that. Like, that's the next right? Treehouse of Horror, just have... But Milhouse and Bart... I don't know. Milhouse feels like he's not contributing anything to society. He feels like this is a waste, and Bart sets him straight.
Stay away from me, Bart. I mean it. I'm not going back. I'm not cut out to be a star.
But Milhouse, being a star is every patriotic American's dream.
Not mine. It's a sham, Bart. You get up on that movie screen pretending to be a hero, but you're not. The real heroes are out there, toiling day and night on more important things.
Television.
No! Curing heart disease and wiping out world hunger!
But Milhouse, they haven't cured anything. Heart disease and world hunger are still rampant. Those do-gooders are all a bunch of pitiful losers. Every last one of them. Want results? You have to go to the Schwarzeneggers, the Stallones, and to a lesser extent, the Van Dams.
He's not wrong.
Honestly, I prefer Van Damme over Stallone. I don't know. The filmography of Van Damme, I'm more interested in that than Stallone.
That's true. Time Cop is definitely better than Rocky.
I wasn't really talking about Time Cop. I think Rocky is over.
Name any Jean-Claude Van Damme film that holds up to, let's see, what has Stallone been in? Over the Top, Rocky.
Bloodsport.
Bloodsport's Kickboxer, good one. That's true.
Universal Soldier.
Universal Soldier was terrible.
Man. JVCD.
I've never actually seen that. I've heard good things, though.
It is good. Just as Bart is finishing his little speech defending the Hollywood actor, the action hero, the star, I suppose, Mickey Rooney shows up to save the day, I guess. Mickey Rooney was a child actor. He's not a child anymore. Is Mickey Rooney still alive? No, he died in 2014. That's sad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn you, 2014.
Well, he died. He was 93 years old, so he lived a very long life. He was, a child star, and as he proudly proclaims in this episode, the hottest or most... How does he actually phrase it? Something about most profitable star or something like that. And from 1939 to 1940.
It was number one box office draw from 1939 to 1940, spanning two decades.
Spanning two decades. That is technically correct. He pleads for Milhouse to come back. It does not work. And Mickey Rooney does offer to fill in for the role of Fallout Boy. They don't take him up on it. And the production is bankrupt. They have $1,000 left in their name, and Quimby taxes it out of them on their way out. Mickey Rooney does shames the town for their awful ways of bleeding these poor Hollywood types dry. And then the production returns to L.A. to be embraced and supported by the Los Angeles Hollywood, I don't know, culture, I guess?
Something like that.
We see Hollywood is painted very happily and brightly at the very end. We get like a backwards kind of zoom out shot of Hollywood, and everything's happy and nice, which is generally the opposite of how it's portrayed. I think everywhere I've ever seen it. That's true,
because whenever it's portrayed, we like to feel that the small town folks are simple and well-meaning, and Hollywood is essentially big business come to take advantage of their small town naivete. And it's really funny that this is the exact opposite.
Yes. I mean, it's not wrong, honestly. Springfield is a pretty shady place in general.
Yes, in very so many ways.
Yeah. Overall, a very good episode. Funny, full of good catchphrases. I don't know, lots of really memorable things. This is their first foray into digital coloring.
Really?
Yeah, this is.
I couldn't even tell.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't notice. Even though if you read the apparently on the news groups, there are people who complained. But it looked fine to me. But they will not do that again for quite a while. Eventually they go to all digital coloring, but this is the first time they try it. But good episode.
Indeed.
We do have, and we will rank it at the end of the show. We have a submission for my favorite episode. This is from Randall. Hello, fellow Simpson Arenos. Radioactive Man is tied with two other episodes as my favorite episode of all time. Which two? As an independent filmmaker, comic fan, and someone who grew up watching the Adam West Batman series, this episode hits so many notes for me. All the jokes about what goes on behind the camera when making a movie crack me up every time, because there's sadly so much truth hidden in them. Sometimes when I shoot on film, certain colors get skewed and don't look like their true color. Every time that happens, I think about cows don't look like cows on film. You gotta use horses. Speaking of which, if a bunch of cats taped together looks like a horse on film, and Sarah Jessica Parker looks like a horse in her films, does that mean that in the Simpsons universe she is actually a bunch of cats taped together? I don't know. That's spurious. My other favorite part is the editor awkwardly editing the film around the existing Millhouse footage. I've seen so many straight-to-VHS movies in the 80s and 90s that aren't edited any better. Thank you for your submission. If you have a favorite episode, simply email us at simpsonshowpod@gmail.com explaining why a certain episode is your favorite, and I'll read it when we get to that episode. Next up, Matt, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group, where I comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group when the week or two after an episode came out, see what people were talking about. Unfortunately, as I have mentioned in the Who Shot Mr. Burns previous episodes, it is empty, vanishing. Everything's gone. I don't know why.
So sad.
Yeah, it is. I really wanted to see people's reactions to like an appearance of a news group, but nothing. You know, I go to, when I can't find anything, go to the Simpsons Archive, which is a really great resource. They have some stuff there. That it's not as obviously complete as I would like, but you know, it's something. People didn't like this episode very much, Matt.
I don't understand that, because it seems really awesome.
Mostly grades, like people give it a, you know, they give it a letter grade. It's mostly like B's to D's. Like it's very kind of mediocre.
People confuse me.
I pulled a few of them. I'll read them. Yeesh, that was about as subtle as a LAPD interrogation, only not as funny. What? Is it too early in the season to choose a worst episode this year? Whew. What? That's rough. That's rough. Not as funny. I felt the jokes were pretty flat and the story non-involving. A few good bits, such as the 70s Batman spoof and that Estonian guy, but that's about it. Also, the animation and voice acting were subpar. The writers were trying to spoof Hollywood movie making, a ripe target. They totally failed. Grade D.
Just you people are dead inside. You must be.
I don't. 1995. I've been waiting for this episode since I saw the title. After knowing the plot, made me even more anxious to watch it. Then they come up with this episode that, in the words of the crew man, was a bunch of cats taped together. Grade C.
Oh, people, people, people. I wonder if we're going to eventually look back at our reviews of like season 25 and be like, what were we thinking?
I think we're self-aware enough that it won't. I think we'll be able to. That's the part of the goal of this, man. We get some perspective, you know?
That's true.
We are going to see everything week to week to week to week to week. No gaps, you know? It's as short amount of time as you possibly can while still, like, doing a show about it. We'll find out. But that's obviously, you know, there's nothing else there. I couldn't find anything. It's really frustrating. We can move on to our next segment. It is time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
The listener question of the week this week is, if there were another two-part murder mystery in The Simpsons, who would be your culprit and who would be your victim? Make your own, basically. Make your own Simpsons murder mystery. What would you do? I got some very creative answers that I really enjoyed, really liked your guys' answers. Really appreciate everyone who sent us one of their answers. First from Justin. This is a dark question. While the first thought is Principal Skinner kills his mother, that seems too obvious. I have to go with...
Wow. That was obvious?
I don't... There's a lot of... You get... Strap in, Matt. I would have to go with Milhouse kills or attempts to kill Bart so that Lisa will come to him for comfort. The best thing about this is that Sideshow Bob has to solve the crime since he is the prime suspect. I like the Sideshow Bob trying to solve Bart's. He's trying to solve Bart's.
That's kind of like the Great Louse Detective.
Yeah, it is. And also, I know that they have done more murder mystery things later on in the show, guys. I know it, okay? Just because I don't... okay. Mike, his answer, Martin Prince, tired of being a loser, tries to kill Lisa Simpson to be the clear, smartest student at Springfield Elementary. With his intelligence, he could probably plant reasons for everyone in the school to be a suspect. That's not bad. I like that. Kevin, this one's easy. The return of Hank Scorpio. He uses Homer as a pawn to kill Burns and Smithers to take control over the power plant and use its nuclear component to continue to try and take over the world. With appearances by Wolfcastle, who tries to stop Homer and Scorpio, but his Canyon Arrow wouldn't start because it's out of gas. Jonathan answers, Mo kills Homer for a shot at Midge, yet Flanders is the prime suspect due to the constant years of Homer's bullying and his implosive temper, as seen in Hurricane Nettie. Izzy's answer, gotta go with who killed Krusty. He's got a long list of angry sideshows and mob debts. Sideshow Bob would be the prime suspect. You're allowed to have the same answer, Matt. Sideshow Bob would be the prime suspect, but it would end up being the Percodan. That stuff rots your brain. I mean, it's not good for you. Sean, my murder mystery would be, who killed Sideshow Bob? The story would have Bob not just wanting to kill Bart, but everyone else in town for trying to protect him. Then somebody finally having enough of the psychopath and killing him. The killer, I won't say, because that would ruin the mystery. Hint, the initials are M&S. Who could it be? Christopher, my first thought was that the victim would be Robbie and the culprit Matt, but I guess we're supposed to choose Simpsons characters, not podcasters. So how we kill off Sideshow Luke Perry and have the culprit be, oh, let's say, Mo.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, it made me chuckle. Danny at Danny Webbs. Jasper is the lead suspect for the shooting of Smithers. It turns out it was actually an accident by Gil, who goes to jail.
Ah, that'd be fantastic. Yeah.
Will at Will's World MN. My victim would be Agnes Skinner. I would lead everyone to believe Seymour did it, but swerve it and have Chalmers do it.
So, ooh. There you go.
Isaac at Isaac is a Gooden. I would have Arnie Pye finally snap and take out Kent Brockman. Come to think of it, this would probably be a very dark episode. And finally, Mitch at Mitch Doyle 13. Mine would be a killer robot driving instructor who travels back in time to murder his friend for some reason. Oh, and his best friend is a talking pie. I thought that was clever. What is your answer, Matt? I think I already know.
Well, I actually have a backup answer.
Go with your first answer. I don't want to hear you.
The first answer was very obviously Krusty, because that would be amazing. There'd be so many great suspects. But my secondary answer that I just thought of that I think is really might even be funnier is somebody kills Selma, and there's lots of, obviously Homer is the main suspect, so the family bands together to prove it wasn't him, even though they're not quite sure. But it turns out to be Mole Man with his terrible driving.
I like it.
What about you?
Homer. Homer has a connection.
So many enemies.
He has a connection to everyone in town. I feel like he's done it. like, I was trying to think about this. I'm like, it's kind of like Seinfeld at the last episode where, like, they have this murderer's row of everyone they've wronged. And Homer, I think everyone in town could conceivably have a reason to not liking Homer. I think it would be the culprit. I would say Marge.
But on purpose or an accident?
Accident. It was an accident.
Yeah.
But she's ashamed. Like, she, it, okay, would, like, it's some, like,
complete accident or got so mad and accidentally killed him?
No, no. Well, I wouldn't say Homer. Obviously, you can't kill Homer because that would end the show. But right. I think it would, he's much like in Who Shot Mr. Burns, he'd be comatose. I would say it was a complete accident, but it's, it would have to be something like she did something so that so ashames her that she couldn't admit it. And I would obviously Bart and Lisa like investigate, and no one looks at like Marge is like a not a suspect whatsoever. I think that's the thing; it has to come out of left field. But because if they suspect Marge, I mean, I don't know, they would have the you know, they would, everyone would be suspect. They'd probably go to Marge first. But I think there's a way you could write around it. Next week's question: what was your favorite Milhouse quote? There's so many good ones. I'm gonna have to think about it. I don't have one off the top of my head. I have contenders off the top of my head. I do not have a clear.
Oh, yeah.
I will post this question on all our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. Email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Links to all those places are on our website, which is TheSimpsonsShow.com. If you want to like us, follow us, you know, all those good things. Next up, Matt, it is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each challenge each other with three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, one hard, try and stump the other. We had a wager for last season, season 6. I had to mow Matt's lawn in my wife's Sunday best. I have done that before I left Florida. I did that. I have edited the video. I have, hopefully, fingers crossed, by the time you're hearing this, YouTube is done processing it, is let me post it. I will post it on our social media. If you follow us, like us, any of those places, you can find us. You can find and laugh at me as I mow a lawn in a dress. Even if I did miss a few spots, Matt.
Well, you know, I kind of expected that. You're not exactly the experienced lawnmower.
I'm not an experienced lawnsman.
Lawnsman, I like that.
That's what they are, aren't they? The guys who do lawns? Lawnsmen?
I guess so. Lawns, yeah. I'm sure that's what they would prefer to be called.
Lawnsmen. I'll start us off, man. You ready for an easy question? I have a theme. It's very simple.
Ready, Freddy.
What is Marge's maiden name?
Bouvier.
That is correct. Give me all easy right, question. So
your easy question. What family does Lisa start her babysitting business in My Sister, My Sitter?
The Flanderses.
That is correct.
Why isn't Google work? Okay, your medium question, Matthew. What number of blue hair dye does Marge use to dye her hair?
Oh, I know what they guess. I'm going to say blue 52, because that's what Mo guessed, and Mo's my man.
56.
Oh, so Apu was right.
It is 56. Give me a medium question, Matt.
Nerds. All right, your medium question. Who does Lisa take Bart to when he falls down the stairs?
Wait one moment. You're breaking up.
Okay.
Tess, say something. Matt? Matt?
Say something. Matt. Say something.
Ugh, it's really bad.
I'm talking. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but you're very robot-y. Yes.
Not my fault. Nothing's happening.
I know. Just
wait. The cat's going insane.
Let Skype work itself out. Push those packets through, Skype. Get some good packets. Come on.
Yeah, good packets are the best packets.
It's still not working. You're still terrible.
Why we'll keep waiting then.
I sound quality is good to have. We need that. Try again.
How about trying again now?
There you go. You're better, I think.
Yay.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, ask again.
Okay. Who does Lisa take Bart to when he falls down the stairs?
He takes him. Is it to Mo?
I'm sorry, it is Dr. Nick.
Ah, I knew it was either Mo or Dr. Nick. I wasn't sure which. And I was wrong. Okay, Matt, your hard question. What is Marge's shoe size?
8B.
13AA.
Oh, dang. It's way off. What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Anyway. All right. Your hard question. What four things does Bart do to annoy Lisa when she babysits him and Maggie?
Oh, whew, okay. Oh, man. Four things.
So I guess Peggy and Marge both have big feet, although they're not as wide. Peggy's are wider than Marge's.
Let's see. He eats ice cream for dinner? Or feeds ice cream to Maggie. Is that one of them?
You're close. It's a very specific ice cream.
Oh. Is it Rocky Road? I have to identify the ice cream?
Indeed. It's not that it's ice cream. It's the kind of ice cream that...
Coffee. It's coffee ice cream.
There you go. That's one.
That's cause
one
out of four. Because it has caffeine in. And it gets her all wound up. I can't remember. I haven't seen the episode so long.
All right. Fine. The other things are the giant party sub that he orders.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Krusty shows up for a bachelor party because Bart called him. An emergency bachelor party.
And he won't leave until he gets paid. So he's just hanging around.
Exactly.
Right.
He gets $500 just for hey, hey. And he called 911 for a hysterectomy. And they call back mad at her.
Okay. That's a good episode.
Indeed.
My sister, my sister. That's what season is that?
I think it's seven or eight. Let me look it up, aren't you?
Eighth season. That's eight. Season eight.
It's...
Yeah, I knew it was close, but I wasn't sure when. Okay, so that gives us 1 point each for this episode. We're smart fellas. SMRT, that's us.
Yep.
I'm currently winning, though, so obviously that's gonna how it's gonna play out. Matt's never gonna reclaim his lead ever.
We're going all easy questions this season.
Yeah, easy questions.
We have to make a cake that we split. That's what the wager's going to be.
That's really good. There, we've had some suggestions. I thank you guys. You have sent in some suggestions for wagers and all that. We are discussing doing some behind the scenes. We'll do some discussion and hopefully within a couple weeks have a firm end goal in mind. But we're still working it out. I keep sending them in. I enjoy them so far. There's some really good ideas. We can move on to our final segment. Segment we end every single episode with. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where's this one go, Matt?
I don't know.
Oh, see, is that the noise that Wiggum makes when Kirk Van Houten asks him about the dogs? That's
yeah, I did trail off there. I sure did.
I think, let's see. I would put this. I don't know. Every time I look at the list, I want to put it a little lower.
I know. I'm looking at individual episodes, and I'm like, I'm currently looking somewhere around the high 30s to low 40s. Because there's some really good ones in there, like PTA Disbands, Homer at the Bat, Streetcar Named Marge. And I feel like this episode is good, but it doesn't really super stand out. I enjoyed the Hollywood parody, the flip-flopping of roles. The sight gags are great. Milhouse-centered episodes are rare, but usually pretty good. And I think, like you said, Pamela Hayden does a great job in this one. So that's the area that I'm looking at.
I think I'm with you. I was like looking initially like in the high 20s. I'm like, and I was kept going down. I'm like, oh, well, that one's a little bit, I don't know, a little bit, probably a little bit better. Actually, you mentioned PTA Disbands. I would put this probably above the PTA Disbands.
I could definitely get on board with that.
I hesitate to put it above Lisa the Greek.
Yeah, Lisa the Greek is one of those episodes that you just, it's an early season, but it's so good. And it goes so much towards the characters of Lisa and Homer that it's really hard to get above that. And especially when an episode like this, it's mostly jokes and you don't see a whole lot of character development.
Yeah. It's the only character really is a little, mostly Milhouse, a little bit of Bart, but really not. It's mostly like, hey, like Springfield as a whole episode, you know, it's just a lot of very much like Springfield as a character itself. You got a lot of side characters make appearances. So 37.
37 sounds good to me.
Okay. So Radioactive Man, it's now number 37 on our list. right below Lisa the Greek, right above the PTA disbands. Still number one on our list is Cape Fear, holding strong, been up there for a while now. Number 123 last on our list is Homer's Odyssey. At some point, it will be supplanted. Something will replace it, and we're only getting closer to that day when Indeed. That happens. It's closer than we were, at least. What is our next episode, Matt? You got that handy?
I actually do this time. Home sweet home diddly dum doodly.
Ooh.
Yeah, Flanders episode.
We're going to have to talk about that one. That's a little controversial, I think.
Really? Okay.
I think
talk about that.
That's my general sense about, like, from reading everything about it. Like, there's a little bit of controversy there. But we'll talk about it. I'm excited. You can find this list, the best episode ever list, at our website, simply thesimpsonshow.com. This list, broken down by season, Treehouse of Horror segments, broken out individually. We're getting another Treehouse of Horror soon, too. Find links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, links to every single episode downloadable and streaming, link to our Patreon. If you think the show is worth a dollar or two, throw it our way. We really appreciate it. See, before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. Please check out my comic book podcast. It is Handsome Boys Comics Hour, available wherever fine podcasts are found.
I like that.
They're not sold for the most part. There are some premium podcasts, but they're few and far between. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true, especially for the next couple of weeks. I will be only be sleeping and working. So unless you are a construction worker, don't bother. Sorry.
He speaks the truth. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching the Simpsons.
Shh.